Thank you, Pastor Dameron. I never take it lightly when another preacher opens up his pulpit. And so thank you, Pastor Dameron, for the opportunity to come tonight and for speaking in CE today and yet tomorrow morning. And thank you, Brother Armacost, once again for your gracious hospitality. And he is such a wonderful host. We had a wonderful meal today after our time with the college students. Had a wonderful afternoon. Good to see the Ramuses again. I spotted Mr. Ramus, and I said to the preacher, I said, "That's Bill's dad, isn't he?" He said, "Yes, it is." And I saw Brother Eric, saw Brother Jeff again. And what a blessing it is to be back here again tonight. I was thinking back when I drove onto the campus this morning. The first time I came to Fairhaven Baptist College and Fairhaven Baptist Church was probably 25 years ago. And from a preacher's perspective, can I just say this? Can I brag on you just for a second? What a blessing it is to come back to a place 25 years later that's still using the same Bible. King James Bible, still singing the same hymns, still maintaining the same standards, still soul winning, still serving the Lord with a smile. That's a blessing. You don't see that a lot of places today. So keep doing what you're doing. If you have your Bibles, turn if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. My youngest daughter, Julia, came to be with us tonight. And actually, she'll be with us tomorrow as well. Thank you, Julia, for coming along. She's kind of my traveling companion. If she finds out Dad's going out of town, she's ready to go. She knows Dad spoils her just a little bit when she's out of town. And so she can get some one-on-one attention. We can stop at McDonald's on the way here. I think we've already got our restaurant picked out for lunch on the way home tomorrow. And so we're in good shape. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 is a very common verse, common passage to all of us. I'm going to read one verse. I'm going to pray and we'll get started with the message tonight. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd go before us tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people and thank you for the faithfulness of this church. God, I pray that you would move before us tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come in our midst tonight. As the songwriter said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Be with us tonight in a special way. God, I pray that as your word is brought forth, that it would not return void. Pray that you give me the words to say, no more, no less. And I pray that you would use it to meet the needs of each and every person that's here, as only you can. And we'll be quick to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an interesting verse when Paul makes this statement. He's in the process of letting the church at Corinth know that they need to bring the gentleman back that was disciplined back in 1 Corinthians. And he says, he makes this statement, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices." I don't think he's talking about iPods and iPads and maybe some of our modern electronic devices today. But I would like to talk about three of what I believe are three of Satan's devices. The first one I want to talk about tonight is in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul made this statement. He's well into the fourth quarter of his life. He just gave his statement, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith." But we get to verse number 10, and he makes a very interesting statement in this verse when he said this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." I was reading that verse just to... Can I get up behind the pulpit? Can you still hear me okay? Okay. Whoops. I can just at my own risk, right? I was reading this verse just a few months ago in my personal study, and I got to this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, and I'd read it before, but I saw something I'd never seen before. The Apostle Paul said, "For Demas hath forsaken," and what's that next word? "Me." He didn't say Demas forsook God. He didn't say Demas forsook the church. He didn't say Demas forsook the brethren. He said Demas forsook me. The first device I want to talk about just quickly is the device of disappointment. Church, I'm convinced if there's one area that the devil would love to distract your life and maybe even like to devour your life, would be in the area of distraction. I'm sorry, disappointment. And I believe Paul, as he's getting ready to die, his ministry is almost over. And in Philemon, verse number 24, he refers to Demas as a fellow laborer. Demas was one that was in the trenches with the Apostle Paul. But as the Apostle Paul is getting close to die, he's getting close to hand part of his ministry off to Timothy, his dear son in the faith. He finds Demas and all of a sudden he realizes he's no longer faithfully serving God. And he said he didn't leave God. He didn't just leave the church. He forsook me. Church, one of the things I've come to realize in my Christian life is we're going to face disappointment. People will disappoint us. I've had some people in my church over the last 20 years I thought I could count on until Jesus came. They disappointed me. Some have been kind, some have been unkind. Some have turned against me, some have turned others against me. And I've had to oftentimes go back to the Word of God and say, God, what do I do when I'm facing this device of disappointment? The Apostle Paul was there. He knew what it was like to be disappointed. When he said Demas had forsaken, he didn't say Demas forsook anybody else. He said it was me. He took it personally. Number one, don't be surprised when people disappoint you. Secondly, can I say this? Don't be too surprised if preachers disappoint you. I was brought up in a preacher's home. Can I say this? Brother Damon, if there's a group of people I love preachers. I love preachers from the time I was a little kid. When I was in high school, we had an evangelist come to our church, and at this time we were living in a town called Elwell. And if you can't find Sheridan on the map, you're for sure not going to find Sheridan, or find Elwell, excuse me. Brother Dameron came to our church in Sheridan this past fall, and somehow his GPS took him through this little town called Saranac. And he said, I'm going back to Grand Rapids, and is there a quicker way to get there than traveling down these roads, these back roads by the river? And I said, you came the wrong way. He said, I know my GPS was not kind to me on the way here. So we gave him better directions to get back to Grand Rapids. We were in a little town called Elwell. Population was 150. Our church was running about 75 at the time. We had this evangelist come, and I thought this evangelist was the best preacher I'd ever heard in shoe leather. Man, he was just tearing it up. And then that little town of 150 people, we had 45 people walk the aisle that week and get saved. I had hardly seen maybe 5 or 10 people saved in a week of revivals before, let alone 45 people. I mean, every night it seemed like there were 7, 8, 9, 10 people. And he was preaching the truth, and it was just... it was so good. My dad said, when could you come back? He said, I can come back in 6 months. And he came back several times. And we ended up buying a dog from him. And we got so close and we'd shoot guns with him. And by the time I got to college, he was no longer in the ministry. Wow. I was disappointed. Brother Dameron mentioned that long ago, several years ago, I guess over 20 years ago, as a youth pastor not too far from here. I went to pastor in 1996, and it was about 15 months later. I heard some news about my former pastor. And I said, no, this can't be true. And so I've always told, if you hear something, you don't know if it's true or not, just go straight to the source. So I called my former preacher and I said, I just have one question. Is this true? And he said, yes, it is, Kevin. My heart was broken. I'll never forget, I went to the pulpit that Sunday night and I preached a message about King Josiah on dying on the wrong side of the battlefield. Josiah was a great king, sir, at the age of 8. At the age of 16, he started to seek God. He started to clean the temple out at the age 20, 21. But he died at the age of 39 because he fought a battle with King Necho that he was never intended to fight. And I got up and I talked how if we don't stay on the right side of the battle and if we don't fight the battles God wants us to fight, we can find ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time, dying on the wrong side of the battlefield. And when my preacher was no longer in the ministry, my heart was broken. I was crushed. But I'm glad. And my 50 plus years on this earth, my God has never disappointed me one time. People have disappointed me. Preachers have disappointed me. Can I say this? Sometimes even problems disappoint me. Did you ever think sometimes that we ought to get to the point where we ought to be above problems? I mean, God, I've been saved for 43 years. Do you remember me? I shouldn't have to deal with this problem. I had a guy in my church a few weeks ago, and he said, preacher, said, I don't know why God keeps giving me all these problems. And then he made this statement to me. He said, Pastor Carl, I've got so many problems. He said, will you pray with me that I can just make my way through all of this? Well, I had just studied on the life of David, and I just preached on the life of David. And when he said that, it kind of struck a chord. And I said, can I say one thing, sir? I said, getting through it is not enough. I said, you need to get through it. Then you need to get over it. You see, I was reading in Psalms chapter 18, and Psalms 18 was a psalm that David wrote after he had been delivered from Saul and his enemies. And in Psalms 18, verse 29, David made this statement. He said, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. David made this statement. He said, I ran through the troop, but then he said, I made it over the wall. And he did it because he did it by God and with his God. Church, can I say this? I've had to realize, as I've looked at situations in my life, hey, it's not just enough to get through some things. It's time to get over some things. I've looked at some situations in our church, and I think the reason that so many of our church pews are filled with bitterness, why so many of our church pews are filled with broken hearts, why they're filled with backslidden Christians, why they're filled with people that are literally carrying around so much excess baggage, is as we look through our life, we've been through a lot of things. We faced a lot of disappointment, maybe by the way of people, maybe by the way of preachers, maybe by the way of problems. But church, can I say this? Getting through it is only the first part. By the grace of God, we need to get over it. I talk to a lot of people, and you know what the first thing I want to bring up is? They want to bring up the past. I'm like, no. You've gotten through it. Now, by the grace of God, get over it. You see, we have proof in David's life that David not only got through his situation with King Saul, his father-in-law, who tried to kill him on several occasions, David got over this. Do you remember when King Saul went to battle at the end, very end of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 31, he was killed along with Jonathan and a couple other sons. But when David found out in 2 Samuel chapter 1, do you remember what David's reaction was? David didn't celebrate. David didn't say, hey, it's time to party, Israel. Saul is dead. I'm going to be the next king. Do you know what David did? He wept and he mourned and he fasted. And you know what David told his men? He said, this is what we need to do. This isn't just for me. We all need to weep and we all need to mourn and we all need to fast. Do you know what he said as he got later on in that chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 1? He said, oh, how the mighty are fallen. He said, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. He said, oh, the mighty of Israel have been slain upon their high places. He said, ye women of Israel, weep for Saul. How could a man that was literally, that spent several years of his life running from this man, running from this king, running from his father-in-law, upon his death, knowing that he was going to be the next king, how could he look at it and say, oh, my heart is broken, my heart is ripped out. It's not a time to celebrate. It's time to express sorrow for Saul. I think there's only one reason why. Because as David looked back at his past, not only did he get through it, he got over it. Church, can I say this? If you're going to be in church any length of time, you're probably going to face the device of disappointment. Somebody you had some high hopes for, somebody that you looked up to, somebody that you respected, somebody you looked maybe to for some encouragement, somebody maybe you looked to encourage. And maybe you're going to find out like Paul, they've forsaken me. Hey, preacher, what do I do? Here's what you do. By the grace of God, as God gets you through it, say, God, I need you to help me to get over it. And I need to just let it go. Because can I say this? People may wrong us, but God never will. Amen. God has been faithful, and God is always good all the time. Church, can I say this? In your life and in mine, we're going to face the device of disappointment. But don't let the devil use that to destroy you. Don't let him use that to devour you. Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Is disappointment going to come? It will. But by the grace of God, David said, by my God, I ran through a troop. And he said, by my God, have I leaped over a wall. He said, I've gotten through it, and God's gotten me over it. Number two, the second thing I'd like to look at tonight is not only the device of disappointment, but the device of distraction. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible makes the statement, for every man shall bear his own burden. For every man shall bear his own burden. If there's one thing I wish was not a part of my life, it was ever bearing a burden. Some burdens seem to come and quickly go, but other burdens oftentimes seem to come and stick around for a while. And according to what my Bible says, it doesn't say for some and it doesn't say for most. It says for every man shall have his own burden. Every man shall bear his own burden. Church, can I say this? There's going to be some burdens in your life and some burdens in my life that we're going to have to shoulder. Because the Bible says that we're going to have to bear our own burden. You say, Pastor, why is it my response? Why do I have to bear this burden? You know what I've found when it comes to some burdens? Some of them are just so personal. It's even hard to share. I've got some burdens that I don't think I've shared with anyone, and I probably never will because it's just so personal. I've had burdens in the past that were just so painful. I've got a family in my church right now that's going through a situation in their family. And as far as I know, this man came and he said, "Preacher," he said, "you're the only person that I feel like I can share this burden with." But he said, I need to tell it to you because," he said, it's so painful. He said, "I feel like I'm going to break on the inside." And I thought of that verse when it says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Some burdens we have to shoulder. But can I say this? Some burdens we need to share. Not necessarily being the kind of person that tries to find somebody to dump on all the time. Not necessarily be the kind of person that everybody wants to run from because you're going to always bear them down with some bad news. But I got a deacon in my church, and his name is Mark. We've gotten to be pretty good friends. And he's usually the first man I think of if a burden's come my way. And I'll either call him, send him a text. We go out on visitation quite often. We'll go sowing together, and I'll say, "Hey, Mark, I got something I need you to pray about." And without fail, within a day or two, he'll either send me a text, he'll give me a call, and he'll say, "Hey, preacher, just want you to know I'm praying for you." I got a text from him this afternoon. It only had 3 words on the text. It said, "Praying for you." You know what he is? He's my burden bearer. Amen. If I need somebody to go to, the first guy I'll go to is Mark, because when you share a burden, here's what you need. You need somebody on the other side that's going to bear that burden. Because can I say this? We all want somebody to help bear one of our burdens. And so we better make sure that we're there when we need to bear somebody else's burden. Because some burdens we have to shoulder, but other burdens we need to share. And oh, by the grace of God, there'll be somebody there who will bear it for us and really care. I stand in the back and shake hands when church is over, and I don't know that there's hardly a service that goes by that somebody doesn't come by and say, "Preacher, would you pray for this? Preacher, would you pray for that?" And I try to write it down so I can put it to my prayer list. Because I know it may not be life-changing for me. It may not be something that's going to change the direction of my life, but it may change the direction of theirs. I had several appointments last night after church, and there was a gentleman that he has to get up early to work, and normally he's one of the first guys to leave, and he stuck around late last night, and I looked at him. I said, "Are you waiting for me?" And he said, "By the way, I am." I said, "What can I do?" And he said, "Well, I've got a job opportunity." But he said, "I knew I needed your advice." He said, "Would you pray about it for me?" And I thought, you know, if he waited almost 45 minutes, maybe an hour to wait, talk to me, I better take that serious. If this is a burden he's carrying, I need to be there to carry it. I mean, look at verse number 2 of Galatians 6. I'll read it to you. The Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." You see, some burdens we have to shoulder, but there's other burdens we need to share. And church, can I say this? If somebody shares a burden with you, the Bible says we need to bear that. We need to carry that. It's as if we were picking it up with our own hands, as if we were making it our own burden. You know what I found, Brother Eric? I found many times in the past when somebody comes and brings me a burden and I try to pick up their burden, do you know what happens to mine? Mine seems to get a whole lot lighter. A lot of times I'll get up and I'll be sitting here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, and I'll look out at the crowd and think, boy, I've just got a lot of burdens. I got a lot of issues. But I start scanning the auditorium, and you know what I realize? There's people out there that have a whole lot more burdens than I do. There's people out there who are facing bigger issues than I am. And sometimes we get in our own little world and we get so consumed and so caught up with our own little world, and we think that our burden is the biggest burden in this entire auditorium. Yet if we had time to go through every pew tonight, you know what we'd find? We'd find burdens. We'd find some heavy hearts. We might find some people that got some news in the last 24, 48, or 72 hours, and they're not even sure what to do with it. Church, can I say this? Let's be sure that we give each other the benefit of the doubt. We have a prayer chain that goes out when there's a very important prayer request. We had a family situation not long ago when they had a person that went to the emergency room, and it turned out okay, but it looked pretty serious at the very beginning. And they called me at the church and they said, "Pastor Kroll, could you put this on the prayer chain? We're headed to the emergency room." They said, "We just need the church to start praying." And I said, "Absolutely." I put it on the prayer chain, and about an hour later, I got a phone call from another one of our church members. And he said, "Pastor Kroll, I've got a problem." And I said, "What's that?" They said, "Well, I just heard this prayer chain, and so-and-so is my good friend. But if they were really a good friend of mine, why didn't they call me about this issue? Why did I have to hear it on the prayer chain? I said, you know, I think they were just trying to make one phone call and then take care of the situation at hand. I don't think they were looking at their friends list and family list and thinking, who's the next person we should call on the list? I think all they knew was they needed prayer and they needed it now. I said, rather than trying to bury them because of this problem, why don't we just bear this with them? And if we're not careful, we can so jump to conclusions and we can look at other people and say, well, Pastor Grohl, why didn't they do this or why didn't they act this way? I've been through many a situation, Pastor Dameron, and afterwards I've looked back and said, boy, if I could have handled it differently, I would. Sometimes under the pressure of the moment, maybe we don't always do what we would have done if we had time to give us some forethought. Church, can I say this? I'm convinced one of the devices the devil likes to use is the device of distraction. Preacher was standing at the back and a little lady came out and he said, ma'am, how are you doing tonight? She said, pretty good under the circumstances. And he said, ma'am, what are you doing under there? And you know, if we're not careful, we can get so accustomed to carrying burdens that we forget what we're really supposed to do with them. The first thing that we have to recognize, according to the Bible, every man shall bear his own burden. There's going to be some burdens we have to shoulder. But you know, one of the reasons why God's given us a church is so that we can bear one another's burdens. So we have a place where we can go, where we can share those burdens. But last but not least, can I say this? Every single one of our burdens, we have to shed it and just give it to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I sometimes have looked at my ministry and thought, Lord, there's only one way this is ever going to work. I can't carry these burdens. You have to. And I come from my little country church, and I come to a ministry like this, and I see a big auditorium, large church, large Christian school, college, large ministry, and I'm glad that Pastor Damon has the same place he can go with his burdens that I do, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Church, can I say this? If the devil doesn't get you with the device of disappointment, he'll try to get you through the device of distraction. Don't let him distract you. Don't let a burden distract you. When a burden comes your way, recognize there may be some burdens I have to shoulder. There's going to be some burdens that I can share, but every one of them I've got to give them to the Lord. I learned a long time ago that I'm only one person, and I can only carry so many burdens at one time. And if I get so burdened down, I'm not going to be good to anybody, including the Lord. So I'm just going to give them to him. And he can do much better with every one of those burdens and any one of those burdens than I can. Let me give just one more thought. The device of discouragement. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what's amazing? If there's one of the devices that probably the devil uses as much as any, it's got to be the device of discouragement. And can I say this? If there's a device that I deal with people constantly in reference to, it's the device of discouragement. I was at a preacher's meeting just a few weeks ago, and there were probably 20, maybe 25 preachers there. We took a time for prayer requests and took a time just to express some different needs that different preachers had. And I was amazed. They started going around that auditorium, and one preacher after another just began to cry. As they were bearing their hearts, they just began to weep. And I said to myself, wow, there's so much discouragement in this auditorium this morning. I thought, you know, if the devil can get God's preachers discouraged, I wonder what he's doing to the people in the pews. As you read through your Bible, you see that Moses dealt with discouragement. David dealt with discouragement. Elijah dealt with discouragement. Jeremiah dealt with it. Job dealt with it. Jonah dealt with it. And the list goes on and on. And church, can I say this? If we're not careful, the devil will so hone in on that area in our life and whatever area it is that can cause us to get discouraged. And he'll just bear down on us where it gets to be so difficult that if you're not careful, you'll want to quit running the race. Several years ago, I had a lunch with a preacher and he was just discouraged. And I left that meeting and I said, God, please, when I sense that spirit of discouragement coming my way, please let me offset it. Please let me run to you as quickly as I can. If there's one area that I've recognized I've got to guard my life, it's that spirit, especially when it comes to the spirit of discouragement. The devil is so good at using that device. We had a preacher at our church a few months ago. He was there for a 50th anniversary of his in-laws. And I saw him for just a few minutes on Saturday. When I saw him on Saturday, I hadn't seen him probably for a couple of years. And I went up to him and I called him by name and I said, how you doing? And this was his first word out of his mouth. Super. Preacher, I'm doing super. He said, God is good. Church is going great. People are getting saved. Attendance is up. He said, man, we're doing great. Pretty much the end of the conversation. I thought, man, great news. I get to church the next morning. That was on a Saturday. I get to church the next morning. One of my deacons walked up to me and he said, hey, preacher, he said, did you hear that the pastor's car yesterday broke down? I said, you know, I saw a car on the side of the road and I thought it was his vehicle. It had an out-of-state license plate on. I was sure that was his car, but nobody was in it. He said, yeah, it was his car. He said, do you think we could give him a check and help him to offset the expenses of his car? And I said, absolutely. So I went to the church secretary. I got a check, got it made out. I went to hand it to this preacher. And he looked down and he saw the amount on the check. Tears came to his eyes. And he said, Pastor Kroll, he said, I don't know how to tell you this, but we just lost three of our best tithing families. Our church accounts are at zero right now. And I just had to go out and get a full-time job just to keep our bills paid. He said, we're hitting a real low spot right now. And he said, you have no idea how much of a blessing this is. You know what that reminded me of? Do you know how easy we are to cover that discouragement? And it's probably good that we do. But 24 hours before, Brother Eric, the first word he said to me was, super. It's going great. And that's what we want to hear. And I mean, I didn't want to hear the three tithing families had left. And I didn't want to hear that his church accounts were at zero. And I didn't want to hear that he had to go back and work a full-time job. So he saved all those details until 24 hours later. And I said, hey, brother, I said, don't let the devil get you with discouragement. I said, you've been at that church for several years. I said, don't quit now. I said, your church is going to stabilize itself. It'll come out of this. I said, but you can't quit. So, Pastor Carl, what do I do when I find myself facing one of these devices? Can I say this? Keep your focus on God. Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Keep your eyes on him. Secondly, can I say this? Keep walking with God. Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Anything else, preacher? Yeah, just two last things. Number three, when you find yourself disappointed, distracted, or maybe discouraged, here's what you need to do. Find somebody else's burden to carry. It's so easy to look at our own and say, hey, preacher, why hasn't somebody come and carried mine? Why don't you find somebody else's burden that you can carry? Last year was a difficult year for our church. I had my devotions one day in January of 2015. I knew it was going to be a bad year. The Holy Spirit said when I had my devotions, he said, prepare yourself. There's going to be a lot of death this year. I think I normally do about three funerals a year, and I did 13 funerals last year. In June, I think I did four funerals, and I did three of them in 1 week. There's a lady in our church by the name of Becky Bowman. She'd been in our church for about 4 years. She'd had cancer, went into remission, and it came back. She and her husband started attending our church, and somehow, some way, she just fell in love with our Christian school kids. And she and her husband started coming to all of the volleyball games for our Christian school girls. And if it was an away game, they'd travel. If it was a tournament, they'd travel at their own expense. And they just wanted to be an encouragement to our girls. And she was just an absolute angel, if I can use that expression. Her cancer got so bad that she lost her hair. It got so bad that the doctors told her your immunity is so low, you can't even be out in public. If you are, you have to wear a mask. Her doctor said, don't go to church. You can't be around large crowds. You can't do it. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, she was in church. I said to her husband, Jerry, I said, how is she able to come today? He said, preacher, I don't know. He said, I was up with her for several hours last night. He said she was so weak a few hours ago, she couldn't even make it to the bathroom. I had to help her to get there. But she said, honey, I'm going to be sick if I'm home. I'm not going to feel good if I'm here. But at least if I go to church, I can be around people I love. I can see the people that I care about and people that care for me. And she said, if I've got to be sick, I'd rather be sick around people that I love. She didn't quit coming until the Lord took her home. You know what I did every time I looked out and I saw Becky Bowman? I said, thank you, God. I think I'm having a bad day. I think things are going difficult on my side of the tracks. I'm a whole lot better off than I could probably ever realize. Church, can I say this? You find yourself going through one of these situations, carry somebody else's burden. And last but not least, keep doing what God's called you to do right where He's called you to do it. Don't let distraction, don't let disappointment, don't let discouragement keep you from teaching a Sunday school class. Don't let it keep you from singing in the choir. Don't let it keep you from singing a special. Don't let it keep you from being in the ensemble. Hey, don't let it keep you from working your bus route. We've got a few bus routes up in Sheridan. Can I say this? There are days that it's just not fun. We get out there and it's below zero. We're trying to get the buses started. And we try to have a rule that if it's below zero, we don't run the buses. And I've got guys that will wait to the very last minute. And if we can possibly run those buses, we're going to run them. We hate going to Sunday without running our buses. Oh, you say, Pastor Carl, I know it gets weary sometimes. Yeah, but can I say this? 15 years ago, I hired one of your bus kids by the name of Bill Ramos. He worked with me for 7 years. And I mean, we had a great 7 years. When he left, my heart was broken. I think his was too. But he's preached for me several times, preached for me last December. I talked to him on the phone last week. I love Bill. And whoever ran that bus past the Ramos' house, you've done a lot of churches a great service. Last summer, I hired Philip Heilman. I think he too was reached at the bus ministry for Fairhaven Baptist Church. And I wonder if their bus captain ever got discouraged. I wonder if their bus workers ever said, you know, we're not seeing any fruit. Man, our numbers are dwindling. I don't know if any of these kids are getting it. Who knows? Maybe somebody you pick up Sunday will be one of my staff members down the road someday. The first two I've hired are keepers. I'm sure the next one will be too. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying the devil has devices. And if he can discourage you, if he can distract you, if he can disappoint you, he'll take advantage of it. Because what he wants to do is he wants to stop your service for God. He wants to stop your light from shining. He wants to keep you from making a difference for the honor and glory of God. Don't let him use a device to destroy your life. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for the examples we find in it. Thank you for an Apostle Paul who dealt with disappointment, but he still overcame it. Thank you for a David who, even though a King Saul, his king, his father-in-law, tried to hunt him down and kill him, upon his death he wept and he mourned because he recognized that not only, God, had you gotten him through this situation, you'd gotten him over it. God, we're going to face some things in this life that, humanly speaking, we wish we didn't have to face. But if we could see your plan, and if we could see your purpose, we'd realize that there is some reason behind it all. And rather than try to figure out what's going on, just help us to trust you. Just help us to stay faithful. God, I pray for these dear servants at Fairhaven Baptist Church. May Jesus find us faithful until he takes us home or until he returns for us. Don't let one of these devices get us out of the race. God, may we finish strong for the honor and glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.